Okay, they're both recording.
All right, hit it. Welcome to As You Wish, broadcasted live deep within the earth from a little wilderness town called Trout Lake, Washington, where the women are strong, the men are good-looking, and the children, well, most of them have been abducted. UFO and Paranormal Central, a cryptozoologist's dream. Thanks for joining us.
We brought that music on again. We had Frank that just played that for us here at the ranch at the last conference. It was great. So we thought we'd bring it out again. And I always thought it was hilarious, you know, talking about how it's like Lake Wobegon here almost at Trout Lake, you know, where the women are strong, the men are good looking, and the children, well, most of them have been abducted. So a lot of Pleiadian genes out here flying around. But anyway, make a long story short, there's a lot on the news. I mean, we are getting hammered once again by CMEs and a lot of coronal mass ejections and gamma ray bursts and things like that. So people's stuff is coming up. So learn to become the observer and depersonalize this as people go through their processes, because we are in process, and this alignment with galactic plane is bringing everything up to look at. No rocks being left unturned, so just hang in there. There's a few other things. We have a new project we're starting, and I know a lot of people got upset with Alfred Weber's expose on the exopolitics and some of the Greer shenanigans, I should say. I don't know, supposed shenanigans, but you know, basically, you know, it's no sense in attacking us for that. I mean, we had nothing to do with it, and. You know, it's very important to use discernment when you get into the UFO community and be very clear on who you're aligning with. You know, I made it very clear about how I believe that concerning UFOs, that people have to have their own experience. You know, you need to do your own investigation and stop waiting for some external authority to tell you it's okay to believe in UFOs and it's okay to do your practices that will open you up for contact, you know, and it's okay to learn how to heal unseen negative influences and set boundaries and maintain your self-authority and become a master yourself. You know, you don't need the go-betweens. And we've always held that position, and we've empowered people to have their own experiences. And we've done that on a regular basis here, and that's where we've always come from. So, you know, I know a lot of his key people seem to have left the organization for various reasons. We've heard the reasons why they left the organization. And that's really not, there's an old saying, you know, there's my business, other people's business, and God's business. And whatever's going on over there is between, is Greer's business. It's not my business. But, you know, it is, you know, getting to be quite a convoluted mess, and we really want to distance ourselves from that. So there are some people within those organizations that are trying to attack us now because of all the problems within their organization, and we've just held fast to what we're doing. We're going to have some new footage up that's going to make it undeniable. These ships are flying below the trees. They're interacting with people. They're splitting off. They're doing all kinds of crazy things, powering up, you know, multiple power-ups, doing all kinds of things that make it very, very clear that these are not satellites. So I know we've had a lot of posts on the eSETI website from some people that were part of Greer's organization that are trying to attack us and attack our credibility because of their credibility going out the window, you know. So it's just some death throes, and we don't really worry about it because we stand on our work, and our work speaks for itself. And one other thing I want to announce too is that, you know, a big shout out to Michelle. We've got, we're working now with some other energies and producers, and we are going to put out, you know, eventually put out our own movie. And it's going to be an amazing movie because it's going to cover the beginning of contact, talk about all the different dimensions, the higher dimensional contacts, the you know, focus on more of a spiritual path and an opening, and also show some of the pitfalls that come with contact as well. So it's going to be an amazing movie. It's going to be an earth-changing movie, you know, once this is done. And if anybody wants to find out more, go ahead and email me at ufojames@gorge.net or go to the website at eseti.org and send me an email from there. And, you know, we're looking for some people that that really believe in this work, that we're looking for some camera people and some sound people and maybe some special effects people or people that are really good with computers and things like editors, you know, things of that nature. So it's something that we're just now forming and putting together. And I already have some quality people that are going to be working on this and to produce it. And the outline is all there. And it's just amazing. When we finished the outline for the movie, we were just in shock that this is going to, it's going to be so amazing. And it's going to tie in all the ancient cultures and UFOs and really lay a firm foundation for contact. So go ahead and give us a call, you know, or give us a, if you have those special abilities and you want to chip in and help out with this project. It's, right now it's almost a zero budget project. So we probably will put up some way to help fund this project and get it going. But it's really a necessity now. I really don't believe a lot of these UFO movies are very, very negative. They show a very bad light, you know, concerning our off-world visitors and what they're doing and up to. It only shows a negative side, you know, an abduction side or whatever. And then some of them are there just to steer all the energy into one camp, you know, with one guru, you know, which I don't believe in either. So we have to be very careful on where they're steering us. Are they steering us to keep looking in the past? Are they steering us to just stay into the nuts and bolts equation and not get beyond, you know, the third dimension? Because these are fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh dimensional realities, even eighth dimensional realities going on. And we just didn't really clear on where we're going with this. And it's time for us to really wake up to our own interdimensional selves and realize we're not just a body and a personality. And there aren't just little grays running around abducting people or reptilians. And there's a vast greater family of man waiting to engage us, and we're going to cover that and cover the history of that as well. So anyway, that's a new heads up. We're going to put more of that up on the site later and be working on that project. Without any further ado, I want to bring our guest on. We've got John Kelly, who's been a large part of gathering the information here, and he's spent many hours, both of us together, out in the field filming, you know, these ships, and we have just got amazing footage these past couple months and just the past couple weeks. Actually, we've got some incredible footage of these UFOs interacting, you know, with the lasers and people asking it to power up and you know, flying very fast, very low, doing all kinds of crazy things. So anyway, hopefully John's on the phone. Can we bring John on the line?
Hi, James.
Hey, welcome to the show, John.
Great to be with you, James. Thank you.
You know, I introduced you, you know, as one of the members of eSETI here, helping out and filming and everything else. I know there's a lot more to your story. You have, you've been doing the reverse speech. Is it yourinnervoice.com?
Yourinnervoice.com is my website, yes.
Yeah, and is that the best way people can get a hold of you?
There's an email there and my toll-free number, which is 1-888-453-0751, or my website, yourinnervoice.com. There's an email form. People can write to me there.
Yeah. And I really wanted to get into just some of your experiences out in the field, you know, talking about, you know, what you've experienced out in the field and what you've been filming and the different modalities that you're using and you know, whatever you want to talk about.
That's great, James. I've enjoyed being a guest and visitor here at the SETI Ranch for a number of years and had a variety of experiences here on many different levels. But a great challenge that I gave to myself was to find ways to work on the production of on-location video to help in the documentation and also hopefully to be a participant in the many exciting incidents that happen here on such a frequent basis based on, of course, James Gillen, your great work in making publicly available all the videos that you shot over the years, your camcorder videos, and the guests who've been here, Renato Longato and Brooks Agnew, who had shot night vision and camcorder video with cell phones. So many people over the years had produced remarkable visual materials at the East City Ranch, and I was inspired to join their ranks. I thought surely I could achieve some of this too. And as it had it over time, with some special equipment, I was able to be a part of many different sightings and contact incidents that not only involved lights in the sky over the ranch, but phenomena that were happening in the trees surrounding the Field of Dreams, where the viewing area that we normally gather at, and lights that were traveling through the field related to some of the phenomena, James, that you had captured in some of your spectacular videos over the years. So I was able to, you know, make these evaluations about the empirical nature of a number of the things that were being described here in testimonies. These instruments were also able to capture, and it was very eye-opening and mind-awakening to be a participant in these phenomena. And to extend that one step further to say that the Yakima Lights phenomena have been described by one long-standing engineer who studied them for several decades as something that would approach the observer. If someone set up their equipment, their observation post at a location, they could simply wait for the phenomena to approach them. And that was how the interactions would take place. And so it's like that here. It was as sort of simple as being, you know, coming to the area where all this activity is taking place and being being patient and sitting and waiting with everybody in the sky watches. And we were surprised. Well, at least, there's always something new happening, so it's always surprising in a way. But it was so revelatory, so to speak, to when the phenomena would happen in ways that were visible to so many of us, and that the phenomena would be pronounced in ways that were it would leave a mark on our minds. We couldn't refuse their anomalous nature. You know, the phenomena of the UFOs and the other types of interactions here are very definitive in ways to ensure that we're not mistaken as to what we've observed or experienced. So over the years, I collected a lot of footage from the ranch. I have a substantial library that I've collected over many seasons, typically summer seasons or early fall. And in many of those incidents, I was a co-participant. You know, I would usually have at least one spotter with me, if not, being joined by dozens of folks. And, many occasions I was fortunate to be alongside you, James, and benefit from all of your experience and insight into spotting on the field and picking up on the phenomena and understanding that, you know, the ways and means of the intelligences that send the UFOs here. So great learning times for me and great camaraderie on the field. I think, again, it's just there's so much that happens, so many powerful dynamics happen during what might be defined as contact incidents, where we feel that there's interactions and communications with light signals and color changing and those kinds of things. There are a lot of profound implications for us on a variety of levels. I think it's an amazing window into other dimensions of reality and other dimensions of human experience and human potential. In other words, we learn about ourselves by being out on the field, you know, engaged in this sort of play with these other intelligences. It's changing us and making us more self-aware.
Yeah, I think the one thing I'd love to cover is that I know when we film these objects coming over, they have no strobes, they have no running lights. They're definitely one solid lighted vehicle, and they're self-illuminated. You know, they're not satellites reflecting light. It's very clear that they are self-illuminated. And we actually we look things up, make sure they're not the space station or Evastat or Genesis or any of the known major objects up there to check that out. But what's interesting is that the light spectrum coming off of these ships is the same light spectrum as the stars. They're like perfect light. They're starlight. And so that eliminates any kind of a halogen or sodium or any other kind of a light that you would have, a man-made light. It's a whole different light, you know, on these ships. And when they respond, you know, they're not responding like a satellite would be, rolling over and flashing, roll over and then flash again, roll over and flash again. There's no Well, there's space between, there's no, I keep forgetting that word, periodicity or whatever, to the flashing lights, and they actually respond. You know, you shoot them twice with a laser and they go pop, pop, and they'll flash back at you twice, or you'll shoot them with a laser and they'll flash and they'll go for a really long when nothing happens, and then you shoot them again with a laser and they flash right back, which shows they're interacting with the people on the ground, and even consciousness. People just say, power up, light it up, you know, and they light up and people get all excited and the ship responds, you know, accordingly.
Yeah, there's these powerful indications of engagement. And as you said, it's a non-linear behavior. It's unpredictable, the impulses of the light flashes when they will occur. And this is a distinctive trait or signature of these other intelligences, you know, deliberately telling us that they're not participating in FAA regulation flight, but that they are guided by some other ambition. So this is really a peak experience in a way. I, when we look at the archetype of contact, so to speak, you know, human cosmic contact, this human ET contact that's evident, that can be recorded and witnessed and repeated so frequently here at the ranch, is very much a peak experience in an era of denial and suppression of issues related to human ET contact. That people openly can engage in these things in witnessed capacity with cameras rolling and so on, mm-hmm. is a powerful opportunity of today, and it is an indicator of great integrations of the future, you know, between societies and civilizations, as you always remind us, James, as our human society moves forward and becomes more advanced and more able to participate, it's anticipated that we will have a seat at the table, so to speak, in the regional and galactic and so on, political, exopolitical world and social world, with our neighbors. Certainly, you know, when we think about the visions of our colleague Alfred Lampremont Weber and his vision of exopolitics, it seems that we're at these early stages of contact where, you know, we're engaging in some sort of diplomacy and we're learning. Well, we're learning to communicate with each other. I think that's a very powerful thing.
Yeah, I agree. Now, there's a couple things I wanted to cover. The one was I think what's interesting is that the Fox News special with Danny Dyer, with Robbie Williams coming up, and then Paranormal State coming up to the ranch. I mean, that's major coverage. And redundantly, we've told them exactly when and where these ships would come in. And Chip Coffey, who is one of the Paranormal State's main psychics, got the same information. I mean, he came in blind. They didn't tell him anything. And he got the exact same information at 10 o'clock in the east. And I told him, have your cameras aimed northeast. At 10 o'clock, the ship would come in, and you'll get it. You know, so the big ship comes in. It powers up, lights up the sky, flies below the trees and around the mountain, and they get it on film, you know, at 10 o'clock, which is actually aired, you know, in the show. So, you know, when you see these things happening over and over again, and Above Top Secret was here with Robbie Williams, same thing happened redundantly. It shows very clearly that there is a telepathic, you know, contact going on, or a damn good guess, you know.
Yeah, exactly, James. It's not that you're infamous in any of the local casinos, so I think that the guessing side is probably out of the question. But this idea that the dimensions of contact enter into the psychic arena is a very important one, and it calls into question our own individual stance. You know, our self development and our self work. Are we taking care of business and caring for ourselves emotionally? Are we fit to engage with beings who are so transparent that, you know, communications are telepathic or mind to mind? They see us perhaps better than we see ourselves. These are all for folks who may not be living a sort of a self development focused lifestyle, who may just be sort of adrift in our consumer culture, so to speak. These would be kind of a wake up calls to realize, wow, I'm in the presence of an intelligence that can read my mind and is benevolent in interacting with me. I mean, am I fit to engage in these contacts? Am I prepared, you know, to take care of myself and bring my life into order in such a way that I can be harmonious beings who display so much prowess in technology and powers of communication.
Yeah, definitely. I love the old saying, you know, what they've been saying lately is, you know, as far as a tool for discernment is, you know, are you creating heaven on earth, you know, and are you rising to the occasion? Are you releasing the past, healing, you know, and making your own personal connection with God, Creator, Spirit, whatever you want to call it, you know, the universal mind or whatever, you know, are you being kind to each other and the planet? You know, those are the things they keep asking. You know, we have to rise to the occasion if we're going to contact these beings. And what I see is these beings that we're engaging here are extremely spiritually and technologically advanced. And if we're continuing to compete and bicker and argue and especially in the UFO community, you know, what's going on there and censor each other and not cooperate and learn to work together and take the high road, I see that's totally counterproductive to contact. You know, we seem to be experiencing that a lot here, even though we've proven redundantly that contact is going on. It has been going on for quite a few years with me since childhood. And I keep wondering, how long are we going to play this game, you know, trying to force an external source, you know, the government or whatever, to tell us it's okay that UFOs exist? And how long are we going to be living in the past, you know, concerning these events with Roswell and everything else? When are we going to step up to the plate and talk about what's happening now and what's not just here at ESETI, but around the world? There's contact happening around the world.
Well, I think that this point has to do with something to do with the idea of relevance. And, you know, how can we be relevant if we're detached from the participating in the process? How can we talk about swimming if we never ourselves get into the water? So it's more than evident here at ESETI, due to the ongoing commitment to documentation and publication, that there is real frontline contact happening here on a regular basis. It would be impossible, in other words, for us to set up all the shots that we were able to get and publish over these years, James, without having access to the resource. It's like, you know, if we wanted to go fishing for salmon and we went to a spawning stream, surely we would catch something here at the ESETI Ranch. It's just like that. This is an active, high traffic area. And that's why getting all calibrated, getting lifestyles aligned, getting our minds aligned and so on, being prepared, having the right attitude, so to speak, or cultivating a winning attitude to win friends in high places. That's all working for us here. And so I don't think it can be denied that there's a commitment at ESETI to continue to engage in contact and provide a staging area for other members, other people to come as guests to visit and attend and to be party to and witness and participants in those events. There should be no question about the commitment here or of the caliber of the types of cultivation that happens in an environment like this, in terms of access to cosmic type resources, and constructive and progressive and creative resources to help us in our own growth and development. You know, there's a transference of energy between different intelligences, and so we benefit and grow by being exposed to these higher consciousness oriented beings. ESETI Ranch is certainly showing consistency in this area, and so we can't deny, in spite of the crossfire in our contemporary society and the camouflage and smokescreens and the circuses and the sideshows that may, you know, capture our temporary attention, we can't ignore the fact that, you know, the classical contact and integration work is happening here. And that, I think, is the tradition that we're showing that we're established in and that we're most interested in pursuing and continuing. Regular sky watching and documentation and so on is a hefty undertaking, but I think that there's great rewards personally, you know, to be a recipient of that light, you know, to receive the light, so to speak, from the contacts, and as well to be a participant in sharing and distributing that light for others to have second or third hand contact of their own and to help to stimulate that interdimensional potential within them.
Yeah,
so again, we're in an era of crossfire and politics and exopolitics in the UFO community, and you know, some people are making some bad decisions and bad moves, but it shouldn't there shouldn't be any confusion about that and what's happening here, because year after year, certainly in my experience, and I think many other people will agree, there's definitely consistency in that commitment to sustaining contact, for facilitating contact for others, and providing publication, distribution, information, resources, educational resources, programs, and access to other leaders, thought leaders, speakers, and facilitators who come here on a regular basis as well. We just had the July 4th celebration, the beginning of summer celebration, and there was a substantial list of excellent speakers here this year again. And I think it was a very powerful and blissful event for many of the attendees, many beautiful moments, many heartfelt moments, and, of course, some remarkable contact that went with it as well.
Yeah, there's quite a few people here that I noticed when people left here at the ranch, as usual, every year, you know, when they leave after the conference, after being here for 3 or 4 days, a lot of tears are flowing, you know, and they're going, this is home, you know, this is home, because we've created this morphogenic field here that is conducive to contact and interacting with these higher dimensional beings and, you know, other, you know, the inner earth beings and the nature spirits and the masters and all the other things going on, you know, because of the energy here. And it is a vortex, and we actually helped, you know, maintain and energize this vortex, including the literally thousands and thousands of people that have come here over the 26 years we've been here, that have had their own personal sightings and contacts. It's getting harder and harder for the naysayers and the censors and, you know, planned opposition people, you know, the disinformation people, to do their work. I mean, they're getting egg on their face every time, because they keep running into people challenging them, saying, I've been there, I've seen the ships, it is real, you know, where'd you get your information from?
Yeah. At this point, because of the commitment to honest work, there's a resounding testimony amongst the public, as so many people have been attendees here over so many years and had the same constructive experiences. It's more and more difficult to propagate a lie about the reputation of this place and the types of activities that are happening here. There's a lot of due diligence. There's a lot of wisdom gained by years of experience. It's happening here, and it's being shared freely. Mm-hmm. You know, people have the benefit of sky watching with very seasoned sky watcher and yourself, and you've cultivated a whole crew of people who come by, you know, periodically or regularly, who've also been able to grow those sky watching muscles, so to speak, by spending time with you. So you've cultivated a team. If this was a league, you know, we could field an eSETI team of sky watchers with the team that's been assembled here.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's, you know, we've had triple PhD Boeing engineers, Lockheed engineers, Skunk Works people here, you know, Air Force base commanders, air traffic controllers, you know, all kinds of people from every walk of life have come here, and they've given testimony, you know, on radio shows and on the website. It's a done deal. I mean, I don't know how they can continue to, the naysayers and the armchair investigators can continue to throw stones from afar. And we've even had some people come here and kind of flip out. You know, we won't mention any names recently, but you're aware of that, how people will come here and just flip out, you know, and then turn around and try to discredit things going on here. You know, it's amazing when they've already gone on record and spoken of, you know, of all the UFO activity here, and, you know, and you know, they'll be challenging our credibility when I remember one person, we won't mention names, as I said before, was talking that the bats were actually ETs, and they were, that was contact when the bats were flying over or something like that. And then they turn around and say, well, there's nothing happening here, there's just satellites, you know. And so it's getting pretty interesting, you know, some of the kind of crazy stuff going on, you know. As soon as you step on their toes a little bit and don't support their messiah or their hero, you know, next thing you know, they're coming after you.
Well, this is the thing, is that life is full of different agendas impacting on us, have to prevail. To prevail, you know, we have to be consistent. So, I think you know, part of what's offered here at ESETI has to do with residential healing. I mean, you're on site offering spiritual counseling, and many people come here just to sit with you to participate in growth and development oriented sessions. And I think that we have to be able to see perhaps some of the psychological dimensions of group sky watching in relation to growth, healing, and development, self discovery. You know, we may not be as may not have as much integrity as we'd like to think around some issues. And sometimes when we put our foot in our mouth, it's an opportunity for us to learn and remember to check in with ourselves and get our, you know, to get our facts straight, so to speak. So really, I think we can see that. I think that's part of the ESETI experience is growth and healing oriented. And as a result, I think people here have compassion and understanding for you know, the different spontaneous transformational expressions that can come from people. But at the same time, well, I think one of the messages about ESETI's related to self-responsibility, as you were talking about earlier. Which means that if we are mistaken, you know, we should clear the air rather than continue to contribute to the fog of confusion. Already, anything related to UFO type contact, ET contact, and so on, positive or challenging, is subject to all kinds of restriction and constriction in our popular culture. There's so many layers of deliberate confusion that are upheld over the issue. We shouldn't be acting in a way to contribute to any more of that. We should rather be diffusing and clarifying, clearing the air on these issues to reintroduce transparency and to show the simplicity of the truth in the face of a lot of very convoluted lies.
Yeah.
There are just many political forces out there, you know, that want to harness these issues for you know, special purposes or elite agendas, and this is the basis of the information warfare, the propaganda warfare, where legitimate contacts, in other words, that have many sort of high dimensional implications, are sidelined for other types of supposed contacts. You know, the news will not always air the best footage. Sometimes, for sensational purposes or other purposes, they will air a flaky story and not give due justice to the UFO issue. And this is an ongoing fight. I mean, there are activist people all over who are pushing to get accountability in their local news stations to make sure that reporters give fair and accurate coverage of the issues rather than push it aside because they see great value. They understand, either as witnesses or having seen the footage or participated in interviews with witnesses, they understand the value for our culture to maintain an open mind and allow access to these kinds of interactions. If a biologist is making a study of marine creatures, they have to get in the ocean and you know, do some surveying and study and engage with the subjects, not just read about them in books. So
yeah.
the education programs are living programs, and in that sense, ESETI's observational studies, you know, the learning outpost here in the edge of the wilderness near Mount Adams is engaging at the same level. We're maintaining, sort of holding the space, I guess we could say, holding the space for contact, holding the space for study and observation, for learning, growth, and development. And that's, you know, it's an honorable pursuit, I think, that will produce, you know, excellent results as we sustain the course.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's interesting, you know, a lot of people say, well, why would anybody want to suppress contact, you know? And I tell them, I said, well, let's say an extremely benevolent race shows up, and they've transcended disease and war, and they have fuelless energy. Their environments are totally in order. You know, they can actually replicate anything. You know, they leave almost zero footprint on the ground, you know, and were to come here and say, hey, you know, I can share all this with you. I said, think, you know, what would the drug companies do? You know, what would the oil companies do? What would the war industry do? Would they want... Does the war industry really want peace? You know, do the drug companies really want a cure for disease when they're, you know, capitalizing on these diseases and making windfall profits on these diseases? They don't want a cure. They want to just keep the the symptomatic relief going, you know, and then you look at the, definitely the oil companies do not want fuelless energy or things of that nature. And so, you know, to me, I would have to ask, well, why wouldn't that be a threat, you know, to the status quo or to the matrix that, that's now running the planet?
Yeah, so do we want a cheap substitution or do we want the real thing? I think in our hearts, most of us want to experience something authentic with our lives. And so, again, these doorways into the spiritual dimensions, higher dimensional contacts and so on are where those opportunities reside. Our wise ancestors may, you know, in their populations, maybe some people were afraid of the potential of those contacts in the ancient past, but not everyone. And I think, you know, the human legacy of greatness is that individuals step forward to explore new frontiers, and their inroads on many occasions result in benefits to a lot of people. So it's sort of this fearlessness, you know, in the face of some confusion on the part of our society, maybe the lack of total comprehension and personal understanding of what we're getting involved with, but it's our fearlessness to engage with these subjects. And by doing so, I think as well, we're also summoning sort of teamwork type resources. As I was saying earlier, how well things run here with a full team working together, coordinated in sky watches and the other activities that the ranch engages in. The team building that's happening around this is an important outcome of these studies. You know, even things as simple as having spotters and camera operators working together, it makes a huge difference in terms of the level of progress we're making in documentation and sightings. So there are many dynamic processes. Again, this is, you know, it's a living, learning environment. The SETI Ranch is not just a static page in a book somewhere or someone's notes at a podium. This is a living, dynamic environment, and it's been a place where people have been able to come for years and experience many things. You know, one of the key instruments, I think, that sort of was one of the breakthrough things that happened here at ESETI several years ago was, James, when you started to introduce night vision equipment out in the field.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, that was a major event because the other cameras just couldn't do justice to what was going on. So, you know, when we brought the night vision out, we started seeing the whole gamut of stars out there and you know, ships flying everywhere that we weren't even aware of before. And with the new developments, I know with your new gear, you've got like, what, four or five options if people want to actually purchase their own night vision gear and start filming, you know, their own UFOs. And I think that is so important right now is rather than to wait for the disclosure and wait for somebody else to tell you it's okay to believe in what you already know exists or wait for some external authority, you know, why not be the disclosure, you know? You know, everybody can post these things on YouTube, you know, you can get your own gear and go out there and start watching the skies and filming these things and post them. Then that's the real disclosure. That's when everybody's taking a, you know, taking responsibility who want to get this information out and doing something about it, you know, versus waiting for somebody else. And if you're always waiting for somebody else to take care of business for you, you know, it's going to be done in their way and probably not to your benefit. So eventually, it's so important that we engage this, you know, if we want disclosure, that we become the disclosure and we engage, this phenomenon and, you know, get our own equipment and get out there and start, your own YouTube channel if that's what you want to do.
Yeah, so we're talking about really sort of an activist media, that this is a frontier for media activism whereby people assume some responsibility for assembling their own production units, which would just involve something as simple as a night vision camera and a little bit of video editing and a YouTube channel. And every time that they publish their UFO videos, they're putting a nail in the coffin of lies about how we're so isolated in the universe and, you know, human beings are the only intelligences or the only, you know, we're the sole civilization in the universe. It's all lies, according to the instruments and the multiple witnesses. So getting on board and being an active participant is a fun, educational, and mind-expanding form of activism that really does make a difference. Now, as we're going along, you know, there's some different things to learn about observation, you know, types of things that we'll see and so on, how to differentiate one thing from another, but it's this willingness to engage. So I've started to outfit eye watchers in different parts of the world with night vision because of my enthusiasm for this and my belief that they're going to make, they're going to contribute to the finding great discoveries and expanding the frontiers, you know, that people around the world will be sharing footage that will open our minds and open our eyes into the potential of the universe and what kind of different contacts humans can have and maybe tell us more about ourselves and who we can be. We have several scopes at the ranch, and I have an authorized reseller status with a variety of manufacturers. One Firefield makes an entry-level digital night vision scope called an Envader that is great for camping, seeing up ahead on the trail. It's got a very powerful lamp, a 1-watt infrared spotlight built in, plus push-button digital zoom. So it's a great little optic that fits in a pocket. It's very convenient and relatively inexpensive. I wrote a review of that in my Vancouver UFO Examiner column. People can check that out along with a sample video that I recorded through that scope to see its operations. I think that scope, you know, it's great for infrared daylight viewing, twilight, and near at hand trail or camping viewing at night. You can probably see some orbs. You can certainly see your friends in the dark with it. It's a lot of fun and very handy. Another scope that we've been looking at this year, and I just published my review this week, and the review, by the way, was syndicated by Google News, so it got a lot of good distribution, and the East City Ranch was mentioned prominently, is for the Trace camera. And you and I, James, were out in the field just earlier this week recording together. When you came out, we had marvelous display, some great power-ups that you were able to help me spot. And the Trace captured them in stunning black and white digital night vision. And the Trace, one of the attributes of the Trace, of course, is that it's an integrated recorder, so it's a complete camera in a scope. And again, the price is affordable, much more so than a scope plus an extra recorder. And it certainly picks up a lot of the stars and objects. It does the job. It's an entry-level UFO filmmaker's camera. So that's the 12 Survivors Trace scope. And again, people can find that review in my Vancouver UFO Examiner column. Just look up 12 Survivors Trace online. You'll see it in Google News. And some great footage that we recorded that night together. Some of the other equipment, one of the vendors, Pulsar, whose gear I've been using for several years, and has some very exciting higher-end digital scopes, including the 750R Recon, which is a recording model. We had a guest come to the ranch about a month ago with a really cool 750R rig that had an external monitor attached to the tripod. So imagine how much fun that is to use a big monitor with your night vision scope and your friends can watch as well with you. The model I use is called the Pulsar Recon X550, which is a very high sensitivity scope. It's basically like a little celestial observatory that fits in the palm of your hand. And it's helped me to record a lot of stunning UFO images here at the East City Ranch. It's been, you know, it's really, it really came through. You know, when I thought about East City and the opportunity here for different kinds of recording and maybe some breakthrough things that hadn't been done yet that I could get involved in, I came up with the X550 as a solution, and that is a superb scope that I use with an external monitor on a recorder, and it's run on the tripod, and it's a great complement to the existing systems here, James. You have Gen 3 with an HD camera. The iGen 2020 is also on site here, been used for some of the most awesome pictures and videos that you've got in the past, James, as well. So there's a variety of equipment here. In the past few weeks, people have been testing here on site, on the ranch, looking through the different scopes, learning some things about the operations, and I can continue to share information with the guests and, you know, hope to inspire some people to think about, taking some of that learning back to their location so they can continue to participate in this sort of activism and development of the UFO filmmaking community and based on authentic experiences, not just recreations, dramatic recreations, and CGI, as so many of our television productions will show, rather, but cultivate a massive library of high-quality original footage, authentic footage, that will help to inspire, you know, the people's innate sense of their own potential for their own contacts. When they see it, you know, they'll feel something authentic happen within them, just as if they were there, more so than, I think, than just a CGI. So this is very important to, again, this grassroots camera operator, night vision filmmaker, UFO sky watcher. The development of this community is in part fueled by the availability of equipment, and I'm helping in that area as many groups around the world who are gathering around these issues and producing important work of their own. But we know that ESET is committed to this direction and these opportunities as well, because the programs are happening here, right here, this summer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been incredible having the caliber of people here, and these are well-known people in the UFO community, in the science community, and in the healing arts that have come here on a regular basis to the ranch and had their own experience and experienced the multidimensionality of the ranch as well as the UFO activity as well. You know, there's a few holdouts that refuse to come out here, and I think that's quite interesting because, you know, they seem to be part of the planned opposition, you know, to keep everybody focused in one place. But
so this goes back to the semantics simply of UFO, you know, as an unknown. Is humanity meant to remain in ignorance, or are we destined to become wise? Is there a point where the unknown becomes known and we have a breakthrough and we have, you know, clarity of vision and we become lucid around this issue? And I think this is, you know, what you're emphasizing, James, is, you know, they're here, get over it. You know, all these question marks about will contact ever happen in our lifetime. It's like, it's so rhetorical and abstract at that point. It's so out of touch with reality, essentially. Whereas, you know, what's, I continue to state what's happening at the ranch is part of reality, and people can visit here by, you know, your grace to have them as guests. They can be live participants in those events.
Mm-hmm. You know, it is interesting too. This is like almost one of the seventh wonders of the world here, you know, where people can come, because we've actually had, you know, Mother Mary, who is a universal teacher. She's not just owned by one church, but we've actually gotten beautiful photographs of her appearing here. We've had Kuan Yin appear here. You know, a Japanese monk was here, and he took incredible photographs of them, as well as other paranormal photographs of these feline beings that are well-known throughout history, you know, appearing here. I can go on and on with the paranormal photographs, everything from masters, saints, and sages to gnomes and fairies and orbs and you know, incredible UFO footage as well. Not just, we have daytime photos of UFOs, and we have hard craft, you know, metallic craft, you know, as well as massive light ships, you know, in these photos. It seems to all be going on here, and I think that's what some people are really struggling with, the mass amount of information and the interdimensionality of the ranch. And how the other dimensions are, the veils are very thin between the dimensions, and how all these amazing things are happening here. It seems like some groups, you know, want to mainly just focus on abductions and keep the fear, you know, we should be very afraid, we should be very scared, you know, and then there's other groups that want just nuts and bolts and that's it. They don't want to talk about anything else. And there's other groups that are saying, you know, I'm the Messiah, you know, follow me and I'll guide you and make contact, you know, and, you know, rather than empowering people to make their own contact. And there's just so many different programs going on out there. And you know, East City Ranch is just like a smorgasbord. You know, you can come here and have an incredible healing. Sometimes we have spontaneous healings here. Definitely the spiritual canceling is unsurpassed here. You know, and whatever people are aligned with, they seem to manifest here and have experiences, you know, no matter what venue they want to look into, the veils are so thin here. People just have amazing experiences on every level.
No, so this is why I continue, one of the reasons why I continue to be enthusiastic about filming here, because of, it just seems that there's such an abundance of phenomena and opportunities to learn. You know, if we keep the cameras rolling, surely we'll continue to learn more and more. It's not a repeat performance. It's always something new happening here. It's insightful. And to be a witness and party to other people's growth and development while they visit is also, you know, very mind-expanding. I think our individual karmas and destinies add up. And a place like this amplifies and expands those things and makes them manifest. And so we see a lot of the magic is sort of co-created, so to speak, you know, by the teamwork or the harmony that we generate here. People coming together around common ideals, high ideals, and so on, is facilitating these spectacular experiences. So this is, goes back to the idea that I've long regarded the ranch is a great resource in the region, the Pacific Northwest, and so I've been, you know, I was just very fortunate that I live in the region that I got to know you and your team here over time was, you know, to be a neighbor in a place so close to a place where so much happens is always it's a great you know it's a great feather in my cap, so to speak. I've enjoyed it. It's given me great cause for reflection. Many nights that I spent in the field sharing experiences, the many perceptions, the many recordings, the implications of the different messages that are coming in different formats and in the videos and otherwise, and what they're telling us, what are the implications for the future, what does the world and the universe want. You know, in some moments it feels as if some of us have our fingers on the pulse. I guess, James, with your ability to anticipate all those sightings before they happen, you certainly fit right into that description, you know, that we're actually, you know, we are actually, you know, doing pulse readings, so to speak, just like in Chinese medicine. We're diagnosing the state of the universe. You know, we're feeling the cosmic vibration here, and we are, you know, we're engaged as humans we're meant to be, you know, as mm-hmm. participants on this high level of interaction with the world. So it's a beautiful place. It's you know, we had a beautiful summer, and the clear skies here continue to provide excellent sky watching. I'm going to be here for a few more weeks, and my archives for 2013 are going to be very rich in new information that will be find publication and distribution through a variety of venues. And so I'm going to look forward to continuing to help spread good word about the work that's being done here, and continue to participate in the bounty of opportunities that the ranch provides.
Yeah, I we've got some amazing things going on with the just on all the dimensions. I wanted to actually thank you from a long time ago, and you really opened my eyes to some things when you did the reverse speech when I went on Coast to Coast, and I'm going, oh crap, you know, I don't know, you know, I might have something hidden slip out here and get in trouble, you know, and things like that, and I said, you know, well, if I am, you know, fooling myself in some way, I really want to know if there's something hidden in my subconscious. I want to know. And so we went and did the reverse speech. And, you know, what really opened my eyes up is when we had that photograph of Mary's energy appearing and the statues, you know, and all, you know, the beautiful pink energy coming down with all the blue little lights in front of it. And, you know, I said, you know, Art asked me, you know, what are all those little blue lights in the front of the picture? And I said, you know, I don't know. I said, they're probably some kind of nature spirit or something. And when you did reverse speech on me, it said, Mary's elves say to love her. And that just blew me away, because that ties in the masters and the nature kingdom, you know, as working together, which a lot of religions have disassociated that for some reason. And then,
yeah, like you said, the folkloric and the traditional religious were combined in that phrase. And that's a really powerful sort of reintegrated kind of perspective, a holistic, you know, inclusive look at the implications of those profound beings. That, you know, it's, again, it's, you know, it says these ideas about working together, harmonized. And so our thoughts on these questions should also not be disintegrated, but integrated. We need to review our questions about spirituality and religion in mass society. We need to review them from a holistic perspective, because the unconscious is telling us it's that way. We need to be realigned and reharmonized. You know, there's a lot of human tragedy in the world, but underneath all of it is this goodness is waiting to emerge if we can reinstill our faith. You know, let go of some of our attachments to wars and greed and the other things that are driving quote unquote progress. We can find you know, a greater means and greater insight. You know, the spiritual world has been going on long before human civilization, and it will continue ahead. There's a lot to teach us, and those intelligences and teachers are with us in profound ways.
You know, the other one I wanted to comment on too is that you did another reverse speech, and I'd love to hear you comment on that. Is that when I did the, I said, you know, Art was asking me, well, I was talking about these massive golden ships that were flying over the ranch that were getting on film. And he said, well, who do you think are on those ships? And I said, they feel like God beings. They feel really powerful, very ancient. And then you did reverse speech on it. It said Sailor Vishnu is his name. And that tied in. Yeah, that tied in the higher dimensions. And now we're having contact with these feline beings, and they're throughout history and all these other things going on. I'd love for it to hear you comment on that as well.
I think that from a spiritual perspective, there's so much archetype and symbolism and everything guiding us back within. The idea of Vishnu is the cosmic controller, the administrator, the super manager who runs the operations of the universe, so to speak. And one of the iconic symbols of Vishnu is the chakra or the disc. So the Sudarshana chakra is this object associated with Vishnu. It's discussed in the Mahabharata, which is part of the life of Krishna. The disc and the wing disc are iconographically linked to Vishnu. So when we see the flying disc, so to speak, in the sky, the heavenly disc, it evokes from that perspective of that, or the context of that ideation, it evokes Vishnu, the sky god, the Rig Vedic sky god. The Vedas are very old literature. The concept of Vishnu is maybe 20 or 30,000 years old. So this idea of Vishnu tying in, it's certainly an important idea to me as someone who studies yoga, but also it's a profound mystical tie, something that we know happens here regularly. The UFOs are here, the intelligences are here. So maybe it's relates to the idea that spiritual intelligences are guiding these contacts as well. And we're all, we're all players in a larger intelligences drama, the ETs and us. At a certain point, if we're all engaging as spiritual beings, then it's sort of egoless. It's not driven by egoic desires. It's maybe we're doing something together as societies, two civilizations touching hands in aid of some universe initiative, that's symbolized by this idea of Vishnu, cosmic controller.
I agree.
The other reference you had as well was about the ancient beings and the modern day visions of the ancient beings, the feline beings. I think this is very interesting stuff because we both know that in Siberia, the air traffic controllers claimed that when they tried to talk to the UFO occupants over radio, they got meow meow sounds back. And it sounds, we all love cute cat stuff online, but this was reported as news. This was how the story came back, that there were feline beings apparently guiding UFOs that defied the radar in Siberia. And so with the testimony here, the ranch, you've spoken about beings like Bhagi for quite a long time. And so I find there's independent substantiation, from hard-thinking people. Air traffic control is a pretty responsible position. Those guys, I don't think, would be saying things like this offhand. There must be something more to it. At the same time, in the ancient Hindu religion, people recognized these avatar feline human beings. These feline characteristics were expressions of spiritual principles as well. So this idea of the Narahari, or the lion man avatar of Vishnu, is one of the Puranic avatars or incarnations of Vishnu, including a variety of other beings. But people thought about this at the time. So when we're talking about the present day, we're saying that higher intelligences have feline characteristics. It seems that there's some cosmic principle behind that too. If there's a Narahari, a cosmic Vishnu avatar is like a part feline, then why can't there be ETs who bear that, bear those characteristics as well? I mean, some people will tell you that the cats are really ETs incarnated as cats. They're so intelligent. I love cats. I know the ranch has new kittens. I think there's a lot to this idea that needs. I think we need to learn more. I hope that one day by spending time and sharing time here on the ranch that I will have more insight into the feline beings through personal contact.
Well, the Vimanas are all throughout history, the flying discs, and they give explicit descriptions of these flying discs and the different types of discs. And some are physical, some are non-physical, the different weaponry on them, everything is all throughout the Vedas. There's one other thing. I know you're going to do a presentation here on the weekend of July 20th and show all of your night vision and a lot of the footage that we filmed here. And there's also a field trip to the ranch from Yelm, from the Yelm Olympia Seattle area, that if people want to get in contact with that, you can purchase tickets at the Triads website. It's www.triadartstheater.com. Or you can contact Steve at the Triad Theater, and that's for that number, it's 360-790-7490, or get a hold of us at the ranch, and we'll give you more information on that contact number. But anyway, we're out of time, unfortunately. John, you've been an amazing guest as usual, and I can't wait to get back out in the field with you, and I guess yourinnervoice.com is the best way to get a hold of you, and that has all that information there. Is that correct?
Yeah, people can email me directly from the website. People can send email to optics@yourinnervoice.com for specifically for night vision-related questions. Just email optics@yourinnervoice.com or call 1-888-453-0751.
All righty. Hey, well, thanks again for coming on the show, and we'll see you out in the field.
Great being with you, James. Talk to you soon.
All right, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio signing off. Have a great evening and watch the sky. And rather than wait for the disclosure, why don't you be the disclosure? Anyway, have a great evening. Good night.